How many of you want to live longer? Okay, I'll take it. Well, we've got some real words in here that'll help you to live longer. Because what we're going to be looking at is one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. It's the 23rd Psalm. And if you haven't taken time just to sit down and read it and kind of absorb it, you're in for a treat. But if you want to live longer, Proverbs 14:30, the New Living Bible says, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. A relaxed attitude lengthens a man. Is anybody stressed out this morning? Anybody uptight? Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. And so many times, much of our life is kind of being backed off on, pushed down. Proverbs also puts it this way. He says, a peace of mind makes the body healthy. Well, let's look at seven common factors that kind of make you stressed out. Let's see if y'all relate to any of these. First of all, does anybody worry? Worry? Well, I tell you what. What about your cell phone? Somebody gonna steal it? What about your identity? Identity theft. Do you ever get worried? What about your social security number? What about your check that's in the mail? Worry. A lot of times we get stressed. Many people are stressed out to the breaking point of worry. Next one, we think about hurry. Are you in a hurry? Is everything faster? It's seeming like speed up. How many RAM do you have on your computer? How fast do you ride down the road? Worry and hurry. These things kind of go together. Everybody's just in a hurry. If you don't believe it, just get behind Deborah Rushing when she's driving. I mean, we're in a hurry. Next one, we think about the crowds. You know, crowds kind of put a pressure on us. Used to, everybody was kind of spread out, scattered out. But now, more and more, the crowds are coming together. In the 1800s, there was only one city that had 1 million people. Now, there's probably 50 cities. And in fact, one city, or a couple of cities, have as many as 32 million people in them. Do you want to live in a concrete city? 32, another 36 million, I believe it's in Tokyo. Crowds. Do crowds ever stress you out? Next slide, we think about multiple choice. Okay, ladies, answer this question. When you go to the grocery store, how many toothpaste are there? 20 toothpaste. Which one are you going to put in your mouth? Multiple choice. I mean, every place we go along, how many choices? I mean, mouthwashes, toothpaste, deodorants. I mean, Right Guard used to work for everybody. But now it's a little bit different because we have these multiple choices and so many choices. Sometimes I come home and Flora may ask me, what do you want to eat? And I say, I don't know, what do you want to eat? Stressed out over the questions. Multiple choices. One of the hardest decisions that you make during the week. Where are we going to eat today? Along that line. Next slide, we think about loss of privacy. Loss of privacy. You know what? People know more about you than you know about yourself. All of a sudden, I was putting on a new computer program, and I hit a little button, and all of a sudden, everything that my old computer had jumped up there at me. I said, where in the world did that come from? People, loss of privacy. They know where you are, what you're wearing. They know you're buying. Every time you go into Walmart, they know what you buy. I mean, they can tell from the time that you buy the Pampers to the Depends. I mean, they got you figured out. I'm talking about loss of privacy. Next slide, we think about pluralism. Pluralism meaning how many religions are now around you? Used to, there were the Baptists and the Methodists, right? And then you threw in a few Presbyterians and some Catholics. But now, Hindu, Muslim, I mean, I walk into some of the places that I work and I smell this incense that's going on in there. Listen, pluralism. All of a sudden, the pressures of what other believe and want you to believe that way or not believe, pluralism. Next slide. Fear of the future. Fear of the future. How many people? Are we going to have Social Security when I retire? Fear of the future. What's going to happen to my grandchildren? Fear of the future. What's going to happen to me? Fear of the future. What's going to happen to my health? What's going to happen What's going to happen to my children? Listen, folks, all of these fear of the future is rampage. So stressed out. You got enough to be stressed out on. In fact, every time you lose somebody in your life, that's a stress factor. Every time your job changes, that's a stress factor. Every time a kid goes off to college, that's a stress factor. Every time some kid don't go to college, that's a stress factor. We're going to make it, aren't we, Franco? We're going to graduate this year. That's a stress factor. Change in our life. We're going to make it. Fear of the future. I'd like to go over just seven areas with you out of the most exciting book found in Psalm chapter 23. And in Psalm chapter 23, we're going to look at seven spiritual habits that reduce stress. So I hope that you'll follow with me in Psalm 23. Where is it found? If you go right in the middle of your Bible and flip back both ways, you'll see the Psalms right there in the middle. 23rd is going to be found real close to there. You need to hear these words. And I'm going to hit this thing in rapid fashion. But folks, these are the most important words that's going to help you this week. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Think about that. Now, I know sometimes we can quote that off. I one time was preaching a funeral in Stark, Florida, and I started saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And before I got the words out, the whole congregation out there, they started repeating after me. Scared me slapped to death. That's what they did in that custom. But we did it. We went together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You begin to think about that. If you look to God to meet all my needs, the Lord. Now, the Lord, who is He? Think about this. This is the one that created you. This is the one who made you. This is the one who called you out. This is the one that saved your soul. This is the one that went to the cross and died for you. This is the one that rose from the grave. This is the one that before you were ever planned, before mom and dad ever even thought about you, there was a plan for your life. This is the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, to capture this, I don't know exactly how to get it across. My shepherd. Walk with me. He's my shepherd. Let me give you another word. He's my manager. The Lord is my manager. Now, if the Lord is my manager, what's He got to take care of? The Lord has got... Think about sheep. Many sheep are defenseless. Some people say dumb, but they're timid. And we're called the sheep of His pasture. And we got to realize that the Lord is the good shepherd. You with me? The Lord's the good shepherd, and there are many imposters. So therefore, we have called upon the good shepherd. And by the way, the good shepherd puts His life on the line. The good shepherd will die for the sheep. What else will the good shepherd do? The good shepherd will go out and find the best pasture. The good shepherd will go out there and find where the diseased plants are and take them away. The good shepherd will go out there where the best water is. The good shepherd will go through the pass and lead you to that right place. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, if He's got control of your life, if He's planned it out, do you want to be under anybody else? Do you want somebody else to shepherd you? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, because of that, I don't have to want. Now, why is that? Why is it that I do not have to want? Because I've got total confidence that the good shepherd has my best interest at heart. I've got total confidence that the good shepherd knows what's best for me. I got total confidence that the good shepherd is going to lead me down the right path. I've got good confidence that the good shepherd is going to show me where the good food is, help me to eat a little bit, and quit when I need to. I know the good shepherd is going to do something else. He's going to keep the bugs out of my nose. We'll get to that later. Bugs ever get in your nose? I mean flies, nose flies. Well, anyhow, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the good shepherd, he's the one who's got it all together. Now, if you are under the management, the total management of this farm, the total management of your life, the good shepherd, do you want to go into somebody else's pasture? You want to go into an imposter's pasture? An imposter is one who don't care about the sheep. An imposter is one that you're on your own when the wolves come. An imposter is those that don't care what you eat. They're just drawing a paycheck. And you let hard times come, and what's going to happen to them? There are many imposters. So what are you looking at? The Lord is my shepherd. So therefore, I can trust Him. What about when adversity comes? Can you trust Him? He's your manager. Are you going to trust your manager? Are you going to say, well, he did it up to this point, but I want to take it from here? No. You know, there's a lot of fence crawlers. Y'all know what a fence crawler is? Yeah, many of you grew up, y'all understand what a fence crawler is. Fence crawler is like a sheep who goes down the fence and finds that little place that they can get in and go to the other fence. I was reading after a guy, he had a fence crawler. That fence crawler would go down and then find that little hole through the fence and go through the way. And then that fence crawler taught the other weeds, the little bitty lambs, how to go through the fence. And you know what they did? They taught not only her little ones, but then the other ones started to follow her going through the fence. And this guy said, after the end of the summer, you know what I did? I took a knife and I cut that fence crawler's throat and I ate her. Fence crawler. He put a stop to that. Why is it that when we've got such a great manager that many people want to be a fence crawler and think that the pasture is greener on the other side when it's not? If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not desire to go to another one. So he goes on beyond this. And he says, in verse 2, he says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. In other words, I need to obey God's instruction about rest. We had a good time in our Sunday school class about that. He makes me to lie down. But there's four things about sheep. This is wild. A shepherd wants his sheep to lie down. Four reasons why sheep won't lie down. Number one is fear. Fear. Sheep are timid. If you let a rabbit run into the field, you know what many sheep will do? They see that little glance and they just take off running. Fear. Because they can't fight for themselves, so they stand ready to run. Fear. Secondly, tension. A sheep will not lie down if there's not free a friction with other kinds. In other words, if y'all ever heard the term pecking order, y'all know what that means? Well, in sheep language, it's butting order. I'm trying to find the right word without using it. It sounds kind of funny. But, you know, you let that big mother get out there and she'll start butting all those others away. I mean, they go for it. They'll just butt till they got what they want. You let a little food go over here and you let that big mother look over there and think that she wants that food more than that other. What does she do? She runs over there and butts them out of the way. Did you know sheep will not lie down unless they're free from friction? You know what? Not only sheep have button orders, but I've been in some churches too. There's some button order going on in there. You know what I mean? And so therefore, free tension. I'm pecking. And then aggravation. Sheep will not lie down with aggravation. Aggravation meaning free from being tormented by flies and pestilence. They'll stand with ticks and flies and pest, and they'll just run off and they'll butt each other. They'll go into trees. They'll rub in trees. In fact, they'll keep on going. Sometimes they'll rub themselves till they become, they'll even die from it. A sheep's not going to lie down if there be an aggravation. And number four is a sheep's not going to lie down if they're hungry. They got to be free from hungry. In other words, they'll stand where the pasture's burned over and continue to eat. If there's no food there, they'll continue to stand. Now think about that. Sheep will not lie down if they're fear, tension, aggravation, and hunger. But what does the text say right here? Did you hear that? He makes me to lie down in what? Green pastures. What's that sheep doing? He's lying down. What about fear? Tension? Aggravation? Hunger? Wow. Like that. That's the manager. His name is Jesus Christ, and He leads us beside this still water. Did you know that a sheep is made up of 70% water? And so therefore He's got to have it. The still water. Well, 30, think about it. If we're going to be, from stress to bless, we need to recharge my soul with something of beauty. Verse 3, let me read that for you. It says, He restores my soul. He leads me into paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restores. You ever get down? You ever get stressed out? You ever just want to give up? You ever want to quit? Y'all know the word cast in sheep life? Anybody? Cast. Okay, I didn't know it either till this week. The word cast is an old English word that means when a sheep lies down and he cannot get up, that his feet is up, and that sheep is kicking, but he cannot get up. That's called cast or cast down. And what happens is that if it's real hot weather, within 2 or 3 hours, a sheep will die. And if it's cool weather, a sheep, after just a few days, will die. Because they're on their back and they cannot get up, and all they do is kick their feet. Did you hear what He said? He restores my soul. When you're kicked down, when you're down and you cannot get up, here's what He does. A shepherd comes along to that sheep that's down, and they'll lean them over on their side because there's been a buildup of gas within them. They'll lay them over on their side, reducing the gas. Then they'll reach down and they'll pick the sheep up. They'll put them between their legs, and then they'll start massaging the legs so that the blood, remember the legs were up in the air? The blood was gone? And they start massaging the legs until some feeling comes back within them. And then that sheep will be on its feet, but it'll be staggering around. That sheep will go down, and they start the process over again. And they pick up that sheep and they massage him till all of a sudden that sheep just hits that point and runs off with the other sheep. He restores my soul. Sometimes, folks, we're on our backs and we cannot get up. But Jesus comes along. He doesn't just lean us over and then pick us up and turn us loose. He massages us at our point of need. And when we walk away and we fall down, He doesn't say, "You incompoot." No, He goes over and He picks them up again, and He continues the process until you can walk on your own feet. That's the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. And what does He do? He restores. He restores my soul. And He leads me in the paths of righteousness, and is for His namesake. Well, look in this next. He leads me to the paths of righteousness. In other words, the good shepherd's name's at stake. If the good shepherd allows the wild animals to come in and just devour the flock, is he a good shepherd? No. If he takes them to fields where there's not food, if he allows them to eat the flowers that are poison, is he good? No. He leads in paths of righteousness. The reputation of the Lord Jesus is at stake. And so what do we know that a good manager does? A good manager will lead his sheep down the right path. And it's for his glory. It's for his honor. So you see, in our life, when we need Jesus Christ to guide us, if you leave a sheep alone, you know what a sheep's going to do? A sheep is going to go down the same path every time. And you know what happens? He cuts a rut. Maybe that's where that cutting a rut. You know, he cuts a rut. And then all of a sudden, erosion. And you know what that sheep will do? That sheep will walk that same path. And remember that good water we talked about? This is what the sheep will do. The sheep will stay on that same path. And when there's a little puddle of water with urine or something in it, you know what that sheep will do? He'll drink it. And you know when he drinks that dirty water, what happens? The parasites come in. And you know what happens to that sheep? He gets sick. Leave a sheep alone and he will not eat the right food. He will not go to the right places. He will not drink the right water. Folks, if we don't have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we're going down. If we're left alone, we're going to be sick. Scriggly, diseased, we need the Good Shepherd to guide us. Are you with me? That's the reason why you don't want to change to another field. God, we need to get God for guidance because He leads me. He leads me down. He's going to prepare the right foot. And this is how He does that. This is how a shepherd does it. You know what a shepherd does? A shepherd keeps the sheep moving. He keeps managing what the sheep eats and where he drinks. He keeps it moving. Now, first part of this was the sheep talking. Okay? David, by the way, the guy that wrote this book, his name was David. David was the shepherd boy that became a king. So he knew. He was drawing these pictures in here so that we could come along and we could follow him. Look in this though. He says in verse 4, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? I will fear no evil." Folks, when you go, can you imagine these sheep who are going down, they're going down the path. By the way, the path of righteousness leads in this trail that generally goes by the water, fresh water. And then it follows, and along where this water is, there's grass. And it even carries along between these crevices. On either side, you know what the path, you know what the bears are doing, and the lions are doing, and the wolves are doing? They're watching. That's what they're doing. As these sheep are going down here, they're watching, wanting to move in, separate, conquer, kill, and eat. But the good shepherd, what he does, he goes ahead, he watches, he protects, he guides, he guards. Yea, though I walk through these dangerous areas, I will fear no evil. Why? I got big brother standing next to me. My brother can beat up your brother. You know what I mean? My manager is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Satan is wanting to get you and he's wanting to kick you out of church so he can eat you. Satan is wanting to be an imposter saying, you need to eat this food so he can get you diseased. Satan is wanting to bring destruction into your home, into your family, into your life. And you got to go down many of these paths. And folks, it is scary down those paths. But you got the good shepherd with you. You don't have to be afraid. He is watching out for you. He's got the plan. He's already gone away, ahead of you. He's looking and he doesn't want you to suffer. And he says, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Two key words in there. Rod and staff. The rod there is for the discipline. The rod is for the authority. You know what that word rod means? Have y'all ever heard in the Western days where the guy pull out his rod, his six gun? That's what this means. It's the same word. He brings, as the Western guys would bring out his six gun, the shepherd would bring out his rod. There's one time this guy that wrote this, Philip Keller, they were moving this stone, and as they moved this stone, a cobra raised up its head ready to strike. There was a little shepherd boy with him, and without a breath, in a moment, in an instant, that little shepherd boy had that rod, hit that cobra in the head as a dead snake. Without even thinking, the rod, authority, protection. And then there's the staff. The staff is this long stick that's crooked. And the staff, if a sheep starts going in the wrong direction, you know what that shepherd might do? Yeah. Reach over there and pull him back. You know what else they use as staff? When the sheep are walking down the pass, a shepherd might lay this staff on the side of the sheep. Not hit it, but lay the staff on the side of the sheep and then add a little pressure. And that sheep will go in the direction that shepherd wants it to go. In fact, they even if you had a pet sheep, you may take that staff and put it on the side of your pet sheep and walk for miles communicating with that pet. That pet knows that you're there. That's what's happening. You see, the good shepherd has this intimate relationship with you. He's bringing you along. And when you think about this, we do not have to fear, because our manager is right there with us with his rod and his staff. They comfort me. And then in verse 5 he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Oh, let God be your defender. Let God be the one that's going to defend you. It's kind of an interesting, in this table, the word means, in Spanish it's mesa. Also in African it's the same word. And it means a plateau. It means kind of up there on the top of the mountaintop, there's a plateau where the grass is green. You know what's happening? The good shepherd led us through the valley with the predators on the side, gave us water to drink, carried us all the way up to the top, and prepared this mesa, this place to eat. And so he says, I prepared a table before you in the presence of mine enemy, and you anoint my head with oil. And I like this one. Oil meaning the Holy Spirit. You with me? The anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what God does to us. But for the shepherd, he gets this oil and he mixes it with some sulfur and he puts it on the sheep's nose. And why does he do that? It's because, y'all remember these nose flies I was telling you about? What these nose flies want to do, they want to come along and in that slob, in that moist area in the nose, they want to go in there and they want to lay their eggs. And then after they lay their eggs, then those eggs turn into worms. And then those worms start crawling up the nose and it begins to get this infection up there. And you know what that sheep does? That sheep goes crazy. That's the reason why that sheep will run in and butt the trees, because many times they just couldn't stand the agony that's going on. And when you start getting these worms in your nose and you start getting this infection, you can't eat, you can't sleep. So what the good shepherd does, he anoints with oil and he keeps the flies out. And they said in shepherd life, immediately after you anoint the sheep's nose, face with that oil, their whole composure changes. Their whole attitude changes. That's what happens with the Holy Spirit. When we are anointed by the Holy Spirit, our whole attitude changes. And by the way, folks, you don't need to be anointed just one time. You might be filled, but you need many anointings of the Holy Spirit. You need the presence of God so real. You need to sense God with you. They don't anoint the lamb just one time a year, the sheep one time a year. They have to do it several times during the summer. In fact, y'all remember dipping? Y'all ever dipping? I mean, not snuff. they take lambs. And they would take the lambs, and many times they'd have to totally submerge them because the lamb would come up with something called scabs. Scab was an infection on the body. And the only way to get the scabs healed is to dip them totally underneath, head and all. No sheep likes to go under in the dip. Boy, I remember a preacher friend of mine. He used to be up in New Albany, Mississippi, and his wife had we went swimming all together, going to convention, and his wife's head had never been under the water. I said, "Buddy, you got to do it." That was the wrong counsel I ever gave my friend. He did it and she did it. I mean, people don't like the head to go underwater like that. Neither do the sheep, and neither do you. You don't like to be submerged. You like to think you can do it your way. I can do it by myself. I'll get rid of the bugs and the worms, and I can do it. I don't need. Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit comes in, and when He disciplines you, it's not nice, but it's for your good. And after you go through the discipline, you begin to recognize, hey, that's the reason I went through this. So look at that. Let my Redeemer. And then I want you to see, expect God to finish what He starts. He goes on and He says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord." How long? Forever. Oh, I wish you could capture this. Surely goodness and mercy follows me. Are you with me? Goodness and mercy follows me. What kind of trail are you leaving? What's behind you? If you are experiencing surely goodness and mercy, then you are walking in that, and behind you there should be a trail of people who have received the benefit of what you've gone through. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you see starting out a sheep in the farm? And in the summer months, they go up into the mountain and they graze to the mountain. And then when the seasons begin to change and the sleet and the snow begins, they start their downward descent. And they come all the way back to the farm. The good shepherd leads them, protects them, guides them, guards them, prepares the way, watch over the predators, the flies, the insects, and all of these things. He takes them to the best food. He leads them to the top of the mountain. And then He brings them back. And they come to dwell in that place of safety at home. That's the way it's going to be with us, folks. That's the way it is. We've got to go through this life being guided by the Good Shepherd. But one day, He's going to bring us back. And we are going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to leave you with one parting thought. You remember the Good Shepherd's a manager, right? Yeah, you remember that. Take this thought right here. Live ever aware of God's presence. Live ever aware of God's presence. One more time. Live ever aware of God's presence. The good shepherd, the manager, never leaves us, never forsakes us, never goes to sleep, and He brings us all the way back home. And I'm going to dwell on my Lord's farm forever. I don't want to go no place else. He takes care of me. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You, we know that left to ourself, we'll cut ruts and have erosion. We'll drink of that which is diseased. We'll eat of that which will make us sick and even cause death. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to manage our life, He will guide us, guard us, and protect us. And what You start, You're not going to stop. And You're going to carry us through the valleys to the mountaintops. And You're going to bring us back home again so that we can dwell with You. Ultimately, Lord, when we pass through this journey, we'll be at home with Jesus forever in heaven. Father, I pray for the group of people right now. We need You as our manager. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I'm not in want. Father, for those who are missing out on this, I ask You right now, Holy Spirit, that You would do a work in their lives. For those who have allowed the pestilence and the insects just to infect them, God, I pray for a cleaning. Lord, let there be a dipping of the Holy Spirit right now. Let there be repentance of sin. Let there be coming clean. And as David said, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. As we get our life clean, Lord, we know You will, the joy will come. Our attitude will change as well as our actions. So, Father, we obey You, we follow You, we thank You. Holy Spirit, we thank You for what You're about to do. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. What we'd like to do just for a moment, we'd like to give you a time to make decisions. We're going to follow the Word. What decisions do you need to make? God knows that. Some people may need to let Him become manager today. Some people have been fence crawlers. And if you don't stop it today, you're going to get the knife. Some people are under the discipline right now. And you don't like it. But you need to see that it's for your good. Some people just need to come to Jesus and say, "Yes, Lord, I want You to be my shepherd." You do that this morning, He will become your shepherd. What is your need? What is your need? Enjoy the Word as people make decisions. I'm just going to ask you to stay seated where you are and have the courage to stand up and walk out. You need to make that decision for Christ. You do that as we share in the 23rd Psalm.
So green. You lead me beside water so calm, and you are restoring me. You lead me in paths of your righteousness, all for the sake of your name.
Restoration and the transformation that is continuing. Thank you for those who have come this morning and found a renewed presence of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that though we walk through the valleys, the shadows with death, we don't have to be afraid. Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for being a good manager. Thank you for being the good shepherd. And now, Lord, as we walk out of this house today, may we walk out restored with a new refreshed filling of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.